In this week's parsha, we are introduced to yet another form of tzaras. We've learned about the different types of tzaras that can afflict a person's body. We've learned about the possibility of tzaras afflicting someone's clothing. In this week's parsha, in Perek Yud Dalid, we learn about the phenomenon of nigei batim, the idea that tzaras can afflict a person's house. Specifically, as the pasuk tells us here in Perek Yud Dalid, pasuk Lamed Dalid, ki savo art kanan ashani nosein lechem lachuza. This is something that only took place once the Jewish people were in Eretz Yisrael. The idea of tzaras outside of Eretz Yisrael could not afflict a person's house. That's only in the land of Israel. And there's the possibility, says the Torah in continuation, v'nasati nega tzaras v'bayis eretz achuzaschem. God could afflict the house in the land of Israel with a form of tzaras. The rest of the section goes on to describe the details of the process, how the owner of the house would call the Kohen would examine the house, empty the house of its contents, then if he was worried, he would secure the house for a week and then come back, and if there was a confirmed problem, they would cut out and destroy a part of that house that had the affliction and remove it from the camp, and then they'd come back again, and if it had spread, etc., then the whole house could potentially be destroyed. The whole process, all the details of the different ways that we can either confirm or not tzaras in a person's house. There are a few, right here at the outset of this section, there are a few interesting discussions between Rashi, the Ramban, and the Mizrahi, which I think are not only interesting in terms of understanding the Psukim, but also provide some very interesting insight, not only into tzaras, but potentially even into broader issues as well. So the first point to make is very well known, and that is Rashi's first comments here in this section, Pasuk Lamed Dalid, which is really basing himself on a Medrash, that this whole phenomenon of Nigei Batim, that there could be tzaras in a person's house, says Rashi, Besorah Hilahem. It's in fact good tidings, it's good news if that would happen. Why? Because Lefishi Timinu Emoriim Mi Matmonio Shel Zahav Bekirot Batehem Kol Arbaim Shana Shayu Yisrael Bamidbar. In fact, the inhabitants of Canaan, while the Jewish people spent 40 years in the desert, and they heard the Jewish people were coming towards the land of Israel, so they hid their gold, they hid their treasure in the walls of their houses. Eventually they were defeated, they were kicked out of the land, and the Jewish people inhabited the land and inherited their homes. And they had no idea that there was treasures hiding in their walls. But if they got tzaras, they had to break down one of their walls, all of a sudden a hidden treasure would be revealed. Incredible. When you'd break down the wall, you'd find out that you'd had no idea you were actually rich. You had a treasure in your wall. And therefore, there's something somewhat positive and good that can take place and emerge from an otherwise difficult situation of having tzaras in a person's house. Rabbi Leo Mizrahi, who's one of the earliest commentaries on Rashi, he didn't really technically write a commentary on the Torah, technically he wrote a commentary on Rashi, so to give you a sense of how influential and how impactful Rashi was. So the Mizrahi, here in his commentary on our Parsha, on Rashi and our Parsha, he points out where in the text is Rashi and Chazal's comment anchored. How do they know this idea? Where do they see this source and anchor for this tradition? So he points out that when it came to, for example, the tzaras, that it would happen and afflict a person's body, we read in last week's Parsha, negat tzaras kitia be'adam v'huva al-kohen. In the passive voice, if nega of tzaras will happen, will occur on a person. Could have said the same thing, if you have it in your house, bring it to the Kohen. But instead of saying that in the more passive voice, it says, Venasati Negatzaras. God says in the first person, I afflicted the house. So Chazal understood from this, this is the anchor in the text, that it was something very, very deliberate happening. Hashem put something in the house. What did he put in the house? He put the treasure, so to speak. He arranged it for that person many years in advance, unbeknownst to that family. Interestingly, sensitive to this language of Venasati, the Ramban as well comments, but takes it in a different direction. Doesn't mention necessarily at all the issue of the treasure, but much more broadly and more significantly, says the Ramban, this particular language of Venasati is coming to tell us something much more profound and important. L'rmoz ki yad Hashem ta'asezos. Don't think that this is something that merely happened by accident or from teva. It was natural based on atmospheric or hygienic conditions. Rather, says Ramban, not at all. Lo teva klal. This wasn't natural. This wasn't hygienic or anything like that. This is directly spiritual, metaphysical, coming directly from the hand of God, i.e. a spiritual punishment, as we know, most likely because of the sin of Lashon Hara. The fact that the Ramban feels the need to tell us this is obviously alluding to the fact that not everyone agreed. In fact, we mentioned in a shir on last week's parsha, the Ralbag and others, there are some, a minority view, who in fact did explain that tzaras is likely a more natural, hygienic, or health type of situation. But the majority view, which the Ramban, of course, is articulating, is that in fact it was a metaphysical, spiritual phenomenon. And here, the Ramban locates and anchors this more mainstream, popular view, specifically in this choice of language, the nuance of the text, relating to nigei batim, the very fact that it says v'nasati, that alludes to the fact, says Ramban, that it specifically is coming from God. It's a religious, metaphysical phenomenon. And in fact, he cites, if a person is interested, he cites himself. If you go back to what the Ramban said in last week's parsha in Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Memvav, by the phenomenon of tzaras on people's clothing, there the Ramban articulates this idea with greater detail. Third and finally, wanted to highlight another Rashi coming in the very next Pasuk, in Pasuk Lamed Hey, where the Torah describes how the owner, having noticed the spot in his house, will go to the Kohen, and he will tell him, V'higid l'Kohen lemor k'nega nira li b'bayis. It appears to me that I have a nega in my house. And Rashi picks up on this language and points out that the person says to the Kohen, k'nega, I think, it appears to me, that maybe I have a nega on my house. Even if he's a Talmud Chacham, even if he's an expert in the halachos, even if he knows for sure that it is in fact Tameh, he should still speak in a very equivocal language and term, Kinega. Mizrahi once again asks and elucidates Rashi, why should the Torah make a big deal? Why would Rashi highlight the fact that the owner of the house always should speak very in doubt, very subtly, very equivocally? Doesn't matter whether he says it unequivocally or equivocally. It all matters on what the Kohen pronounces. What's the difference? So says the Mizrahi, you're right, it's about Derech Eretz. A person should learn never to speak so definitively, always speak with a little bit of humility, equivocally. It's a good lesson in life in general.